Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to our show and our discussion with our guest, Timothy Schultz. And we also are looking at photographs of some of the animals as we're speaking about this topic of what we really should be feeding our cats today. And so you'll want to click that purple Look While You Listen button on the home page here at TalkZone.com so you can see the photographs. And we're at photograph number 13. We are also opening our phone lines if you'd like to join our conversation and ask Timothy Schultz any questions. Today is February 6th. We are live right now at 888-463-6748. That's 888. Go for it, and you can call in and ask questions. We're talking about what should then be in our cat's food dishes. And you mentioned in your book, Timothy, that actually research and laboratory analysis has kind of confirmed that there are some ingredients in our pet foods that actually may be responsible for some of the illnesses and diseases that we are seeing. Can you speak briefly about that?
Sure. Unfortunately, the pet food industry is a self-regulated industry. So, you know, that's like the fox guarding the hen house. There's nobody out there that's going to make sure that the bag or the can that you buy is perfectly safe and has ingredients that your animal can really benefit from. Unfortunately, it's true. And unfortunately, not all do, but they are allowed. There are no rules against using very, very poor quality ingredients. Ingredients that your cat and dog can actually suffer from that are not species appropriate and is very poor quality. There's nobody saying that they can't do this. There's nobody checking to make sure that every ingredient that goes in there is right for your animal friend and is not going to cause problems. So we have to really take on the responsibility ourselves if we want to make sure that we're doing the best by our animal friends. And I mentioned earlier, and I think it's important to say that, unfortunately, one of the worst things that we can feed our cats in particular is a dry cat food. Now, you have to remember, Susan, that a lot of money, billions of dollars, goes into marketing pet food products. And so we just, you know, it goes into our brain without us even thinking about it, without a filter, when we see these, you know, cute commercials on TV and you know, hear them on the radio and such, and it's very convincing. But you have to remember that that is just PR, mm-hmm. just like it is for tobacco and alcohol. And, you know, drinking a certain brand of beer does not mean that you're getting every chick on the block, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just because, you know, you feed brand A pet food doesn't mean that your animal is going to be, you know, the healthiest animal on the block. We have to separate the advertising from the facts. And when we look at, for instance, a dry cat food that we get out of a bag, that is so not right for our cats. For one thing, the cat is by nature a desert-type animal that is really structurally made to get its moisture, most of its moisture content, from the food that it eats. And it is certainly not getting that from a dry food.
Well, but if we serve the dry food and we have our bowls of water next to the food, doesn't that suffice?
Well, no, because your cat has a very low thirst drive. It's naturally built into the cat structure and the cat way of being that you have a low thirst drive with this animal. So it's not necessarily going to make up for that dry cat food by drinking a lot of water. And in fact, if you see your cat drinking a lot of water, you may have trouble on your hands. You may have a cat that's already having some kidney issues and its body is just dying of thirst.
Okay, so let's be more specific. So you're saying, and you go into much more detail about dry food in your book, but so if it's really rather harmful, what kind of things or illnesses or effects do we see from a cat who primarily eats mostly dry food?
Oh, so many things, Susan. So many of the health problems that our poor guys are having these days are related to the food they eat. And with dry cats, dry cat food, I see so many cats with everything from dental issues to kidney issues and diabetes, and so many of these problems are related to the foods that they're eating. Another problem that we have with the dry cat foods is that to make them nice, crunchy little kibbles, a lot of them are grain-based. And grain is not needed by this species at all, and in fact does a lot of damage to the feline species. And unfortunately, dry cat food is often made with a lot of grain. It makes it into those crunchy little shapes.
Sure. And going back to what we already established, that a cat is a true carnivore and they must eat meat if their primary diet is dry food, are they... Surely there must be some meat product in the food, isn't there?
Well, they probably started with some kind of meat product. It might not even be real whole meat. It could be a meat byproduct. It could be a meat meal. But let's go with the benefit of the doubt. Say that it was a whole chicken that went into this commercial kibble. Well, by the time it's through all the processing, all the very high heat processing and refining that has to happen for it to be in that bag that you go pick up at the pet store or wherever, chances are very slim that there's actually a lot of nutrition left. And that's why you see all of those Latin-looking words on the label. That's because they've added back so much, and a lot of times synthetic ingredients, because by the time those real foods got through all that processing, there's no nutrition left in it. And that's where, if you remember a few years back, we had the whole taurine disaster. Taurine is an essential amino acid, and normally a cat would get that from raw protein. But by the time it's through the processing, it's destroyed. And a lot of cats were dying of heart failure. A lot of cats were going blind because these are taurine deficiency symptoms. Until the commercial pet food manufacturers went, oh, gosh, the taurine isn't coming through the manufacturing process. We better add some back in. And that's why a lot of times now on the labels you see taurine added.
I see. Okay. Well, so, all right, so if dry food should not be, you know, their major diet, what about the canned cat food? Because surely that's got meat in it, doesn't it?
Well, it still does go through processing. If you have to feed a commercial diet, which I prefer to feed a homemade diet because I have more control over it, and I can feed good quality ingredients. But if you're going to feed a commercial diet to your cat, I would recommend the best quality canned that you can, and make sure that it is grain-free and has whole meat in it.
Okay, so grain-free and whole meat.
Right.
And so
your first ingredients should not be meat meals and byproducts and fractions. It should be whole meats and then some other ingredients and no grains.
Okay. Here was something else. In picture number 17, we have this kitty sitting in front of a dish of milk. And you mentioned this in your book. If for all those people who say, but my cat loves milk, what's your thought on cats drinking milk, Timothy?
Well, if we can relate to it this way, maybe, you know, you and I may like a lot of things that aren't necessarily good for us.
Oh, okay.
Just because we love chocolate or love sugary things does not mean it's a health food. And just because your cat thinks that milk is yummy does not necessarily mean that it's good for him or her.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Well, you know, when you think about it, Susan, it really just, you know, we go back to that darn common sense that helps us out so often.
Mm-hmm.
If we use our common sense, then we can pretty much figure out that milk, and, you know, probably the milk we're going to be giving our cats if we were, would be cow milk, goat milk, usually cow milk. Well, think about it. That milk is really a hormonal growth fluid that's made to grow a baby animal for that specific species, say a baby cow or a baby goat. It's not made to grow a baby cat. A cat would finish up with milk when it was done with the weaning process, and it would have no milk after that. We humans are the only weirdos that keep drinking milk after we're weaned. And the cat is not equipped with the correct enzymes needed to really properly digest milk. And also, one of the things that we need to avoid giving our furry friends is sugar. They don't need sugar any more than we do. And milk is yet another form of sugar because it has milk sugar in it. That's, you know, we hear about lactose intolerant. Well, you could say that a cat is really lactose intolerant and shouldn't have any milk.
And if the owner is feeding their cat milk, is there going to be something that maybe shows up in the cat, some health issue that the owner may not know is related to that milk drinking?
Yes, you can have some. You know, the thing about the disease process, Susan, as you probably know, is sometimes you see problems right away in a sensitive individual. You know, their body's going to go reject, warning, we have a problem here. And then sometimes, unfortunately, it builds up where you might not see something right away, and yet your cat is going to suffer from a serious problem later on down the road. Things that you might see right away would be tummy upset. Myself, I can't drink dairy products. Well, if I try to slip something by, some sort of dairy product, I'm going to get an upset tummy, and I'm going to feel bloated. And a cat can suffer from the same kind of feelings. You might see tummy problems. You might see loose stool or diarrhea. Also, because milk does have milk sugar in it, you can see sugar-related problems, diabetes, blood sugar issues, insulin issues. All of these can happen gradually or right away. It depends on the individual and how healthy they are.
Okay, let's get to the heart of your species-appropriate diet, because we're hearing clearly that there's some things lacking with our commercial traditional foods. So let's go to what would we feed them? And I do want to call attention to photograph number 19. And basically it's showing this small cat with this amazingly direct, trusting look. And I love an idea, actually it was put forward in your foreword, that it counts on us to do the right thing and make the best decisions for these animals who can't. I mean, they are relying on us, and I think that's a beautiful thing to have in our mind. So let's talk about what is the alternative, Kimothy? What do you suggest, and what is the species-appropriate diet?
Well, I think probably what will help people, Susan, is to think back and just use that common sense again and think about how long those bags and cans of commercial pet foods have been around. Because, you know, people think of them as, well, that's the way you feed them. That's the traditional diet of cats and dogs, and what else would we possibly do? Well, think about it, though. Those have really only been around for a fraction of the amount of time that we've been sharing our homes with cats and dogs. And so, really, when you think about it, we have managed to feed them ourselves for thousands and thousands of years before commercial pet foods were ever even invented. So really, the newer fad diet, experimental diet, is what's coming in those cans and bags. What we did before then was feed them real food. And by that, I mean meat and, but well, they caught a lot of their own, mm-hmm. and as we started to keep them in our homes more and more, we were feeding them real food, meat, bones, maybe a little bit of vegetable matter, although I will say, with our obligatory carnivores, like our cats, we need to watch how much vegetable matter we feed them. That's a very small amount. When you think about what they would get from a mouse, if they ate a mouse, it would be meat, bone, organ matter, and just a little bit of the plant family.
Well, sounds like you're talking about then kind of what human food is. Let's say if I'm serving chicken, I'd give my cat chicken. Is that what you mean?
And think about it. When those foods are out there, when we pick up those foods or our cat would, there's nothing that says when something is born or grown that says for humans only, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A chicken doesn't cluck around the chicken yard with a label that says, human-only food. It's all of our foods. You know, when I go shopping at the store, Susan, I'm shopping for everybody. The cats, the dogs, my husband, myself. It's all the same.
Sure, but clearly you don't mean if I'm making a chicken casserole, you know, with breadcrumbs and cream of mushroom soup and vegetables, you're not talking about feeding my cat that.
No, but part of that, yes.
Okay, let's get specific. What part are we talking about?
Feed that chicken.
And are you talking about cooked or raw?
I prefer raw because, you know, like I mentioned before with the amino acids being destroyed, when we cook foods, we destroy a lot of nutrients. So I personally prefer to feed my animal friends raw because I know I'm getting the most nutrition I can from that food. If that doesn't fit somebody's comfort zone, because I feel very strongly that what you feed your animals really needs to fit into your comfort zone, because if it doesn't, then how awful is that going to feel to you, and that's going to transfer to your animal friend.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do something really well if you don't understand it or you don't agree with it. So I really encourage your listeners to educate themselves as much as possible, and then please do what fits with your comfort zone. Mine is raw because I see how my animals and thousands of others thrive on it, and I know that from my studies, that's where they're going to get the most nutrition, is from raw food. And so say if I'm going to feed my cat tonight, they're going to get some raw meat, they're going to get some raw bone. Never feed cooked bone, because when we cook things, remember, heat changes the molecular structure of food. That's why it destroys those amino acids, and it also changes the structure of bone for the worse.
Yes, it's been ingrained in cat owners. Never let your cats eat those little, like, chicken bones, because it, you know, it's sharp and it can be very dangerous to them. Are you saying then if the bone is, like, raw, that's okay for them to eat?
Raw in the correct size. Of course, we wouldn't be giving, you know, an ostrich bone to a cat. Think species appropriate. What would be the right size for a cat? For our cats, they like chicken wings. Chicken necks are probably the easiest place to start. They tend to be more flexible, not as hard, and the right size for a cat. And just, you know, so your listeners know, all this information is in my book, and I help guide them along the path to switching them over to a raw species appropriate diet. But chicken necks tend to be the right size for cats. They tend to be more flexible. So most cats really appreciate those. I once had two cats, and I wish I had a picture of this, work on a neck, one on each end. They happened to be brothers and got along very well. And it was like Lady and the Tramp. Remember the spaghetti?
Yes.
Except it was a chicken neck they were both working on.
On picture number 20, there is a cat that is very eager to get this raw turkey leg. And obviously then the next picture is showing the cat eating it. Is that really too large? I mean, I found this photograph and I used it to show a cat eating raw food, but would you recommend probably a chicken leg rather than a turkey leg?
Something a little bit more size appropriate. And the only reason for that would be that it might actually be too much food for that cat.
Yes.
And also, what it might end up doing with a turkey leg is it might end up eating all the meat off of it and leaving the bone, because the bone would be so huge. And that would not be a balanced diet, because obviously a mouse does not contain just a hunk of meat. So a balanced diet, you know, there's no filet mignon running around the forest. There isn't just a chicken breast running around the forest. A species-appropriate diet would include meat, but it would include other ingredients also. And so, you know, we sometimes hear people say, oh, don't feed that raw meat diet because that could be harmful to your animal. Well, yes, an all raw meat diet would be harmful because that would not be a balanced diet.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about what the other ingredients would be when we come back right after this.